had some words with God last night, and he didn't listen to me. Because I've had several messages picked out for quite some time I've wanted to preach, and I was not feeling anything. And I really felt like the Lord directed me here. Chapter 12, verse 7, and there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. I'm going to give you a little nugget today. Are you ready for it? You sure? The dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. Why don't we call him the fornity? But we call God, the Holy Ghost, and Christ the Trinity. Why is Satan still one, but God has now become three? There is one God. You don't believe in the Holy Ghost? You better believe I do. You don't believe in Jesus the Son? You better believe I do. He is God manifest in flesh. That is in your Bible and mine. Hold on. I'm going to stop for a minute. You get as stubborn as you want. It's in your book. For God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of the angels, preached among the Gentiles, and received up in glory. The Lord our God is one Lord. One Lord. And beside me there is no Savior, the Lord said. Now, if I said anything, it's outside the book. But yet, the dragon, the serpent, the devil, Satan, but we call him one. Okay, you can dwell on that one for a while. Which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and you that dwell in them. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth he hath but a short time. I'm going to do my very best to preach to you on this topic, the blood, the word, and the testimony. And they're going to pray for us.
Lord, we come before you asking you to use Pastor today. Anoint him as he preaches the word. I pray that we've come in here with expectation. Lord, expecting, God, a great word from you, Lord. Something, God, that we can take home and apply to our everyday life, Lord. I pray for any distractions in this place that they would be gone, Lord. Lord, that our phones would be off. Lord, that hallelujah, we could focus hallelujah. Fully on your word, Glory. God, and get something out of this service today.
Hallelujah,
Lord, we praise
Jesus.
You, we worship you, and we glorify you. In Jesus'
hallelujah,
name.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen. Turn to your neighbor, give him a fist bump. Don't hit him in the cheek. Tell him it's good to see him. We read of this war that ultimately cost Satan his place in heaven. The Bible says, through that fall, God brought the kingdom of Jesus Christ. It says we became overcomers by the blood, the word, which would be spoken, because it says the word of our testimony. The word and our testimony. And this, what? I'll tell you, this brings the wrath of Satan, because he knows he has but a short time. Several weeks ago, we preached to you about the prince of your Persia. We talked about principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. We talked about taking that dominion and that authority. The word overcome means to subdue or to conquer. Many people attempt to serve God never having overcome the things that overcome them. Whether that be addiction, addiction to drugs, or addiction to social media. It's all the same. So the Bible says that we became overcomers. And I'll go to the verse. I want to read the exact verse to you. And they overcame him. How? First, by the blood of the Lamb. Without the Lord's price that he paid, there would be no ability to overcome anything. And by the word of their testimony. You can have a testimony, but unless you put it in words, it's nothing. Say it again. Doesn't matter what God did for you. He wants you to share with the world what he did. Why? Because that testimony builds faith. Sometimes your testimony is your life, but your life also speaks volumes. When people see that you come out of darkness into his marvelous light, when they see, they witness the change in you. If there's no change, you have no testimony. If you're still living the same old you, just the old you is going to church now, you have no testimony. To the contrary, you add fuel to the fire of the Antichrist in the world. Because when you come to church, but you have no change, and you have no testimony, you give credence to the world when they see, that's why I don't go to church. When they see your life continue the way it is, but yet now you go to church. Does that make any sense?
I wish I had some help.
And so he said that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. But there's one more caveat to that text. It says, and they loved not their lives unto death. Or we would say they did not love their life even in the face of death. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, but also because they didn't love their life even in the face of death. Let me say this a couple more times, if you allow me to. They overcame. I don't know how many people in this building are tired of living the life of a subject of the things of this world. You're subject to emotions, and you're subject to anger, and you're subject to fear, and you're subject to all of these things that you cannot overcome. Subject to addictions. And you would love to be an overcomer, but you just can't seem to get there. Well, there could be many reasons for that. And the first one probably is because you love your life too much. You love what you have, whether that's a lot or a little. You love the freedoms that you have. I mean freedom, that means you do whatever you want, and ain't nobody gonna tell you what to do. And so because of that, you never really have a testimony because you become a church goer, but there's never any change. There's never any chains broken in your life. There's no testimonies being written down in the book of life, if you please. And so you've got nothing to share with the world other than I go to church, and then they see no change in you, and they have no desire themselves to go to church because they need something that's alive, and they need something that's real, and they need something that brings change. I'm going to preach to you today. If you let me preach, if you'll receive what God has put in my spirit for you this morning. You cannot go walking around talking about your testimony if you still love your life. I'm going to give you plenty of scripture to back it up. You can't go around talking about being, I'm a child of God, born by the blood and saved by grace. You can't talk about that if you don't have a testimony itself. And the testimony is in your life. The testimony comes through the chains that are broken in your life. The testimony comes as He sets you free from those things. There's a lot of people that sit in the sanctuary each and every Sunday, not just here, but everywhere. And there's too many people that sit in the house of God with no change. It was like the man that was bound by the spirits, and the Bible said he had sat in the synagogue every day for years upon years upon years, bound by devils. And it was until Jesus showed up and those devils recognized the authority of God, because He was an overcomer. He overcame. He overcame the temptation. He overcame His flesh. He overcame everything. And so Jesus, being an overcomer, now He subdued the spiritual kingdoms of darkness. So when He showed up in the synagogue, the devils recognized Him. I've got a question for you today. When you show up in the house of God, does it make the devils tremble, or do they just yawn and say, well, here goes just another Sunday? They'll be back to the same old things when they leave here today. I feel like preaching today, if you let me. But Jesus was an overcomer, and overcomers walk with a big stick. Overcomers walk with authority. Overcomers, they know how to defeat the prince of their own Persia. Overcomers are no longer bound by the things of this life. Do you know why? Hold on a second. Because they did not love their life unto death. That's why Jesus went to the cross. He didn't love His life so much. He didn't say, hey, oh God, if this cup can pass, because these people ain't worth it. If this cup can pass, God, you know, I don't want to do this. This is just ridiculous. I had to die. I've got dreams. I've got ambitions. I haven't been able to travel the world like I want. The Holy Ghost, I wish I could get a little bit of help. He didn't talk about none of those things because He didn't love His life unto death. But He died and loved going to the cross because He knew what it would bring. And so when Satan was cast down, now you got to watch this. You got to catch this. Something other than Satan and his angels was cast down to the earth. When they were cast down, the Lord knew, listen, if this dude's going to cause all these problems up there, He's going to cause a whole lot of problems down there. And so as He was casting him out, the Bible says, I beheld Satan fall as lightning from heaven. As He was casting him down, He knew, I'm going to have to set up my kingdom now on earth to give these people the ability to combat what this devil is going to bring to this world. And so the Bible says that He set up His kingdom here during that same time. Let me read it to you again. Let me find the verse first. The great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil, Satan, which deceived the whole world, and he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying, in heaven now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down. Note how those verses go together. Now is come the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ, for because the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. But now, because of the kingdom, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, which is a part of His kingdom. But also a part of his kingdom is the word of their testimony. That also is a part of the kingdom of God. Because once you subject yourself and you enter into the kingdom of God, when you are born again, now there's supposed to be something that comes out of that, a testimony. What do you mean? When I'm born again and I have forsaken the old life, I now have got something to tell. I've got something to put on display. I can show the world where I was and where I am and why I'm here now, and I wasn't there then. And so my testimony now is a part of the kingdom of God, but also death is a part of the kingdom of God. They didn't love,
are you ready for it?
Their life. I'm going to take my time here because I need you to catch this morning. And for those that really aren't serious about serving God, and I don't presume that you're sitting here today, but if you are, then time will tell. You'll look for an easier church, and I'm going to talk about that in a couple minutes too. There's something that has been weighing on me for about a month that I've wanted to share with you, and I found the opportunity today to share it with you. And that is, I feel like we've got too many people that want to serve God, but you will not let go of some of the old things of your life. You want to serve God, but you got too many things that you enjoy that you don't want to let go of and you don't want to quit. Now, that doesn't mean it's a bad thing. It doesn't mean it's something bad. No, it could just be something that takes too much of your affection or too much of your time, and it has caused a conflict inside of you. As we also talked about recently, dueling passions. I've got one passion that's contending for this walk with God, but I got another passion that likes to go to the bike trails every Sunday and race. I've been doing it for years. I don't know who does that, so I can use that one. In the summertime, these dueling passions really come up, and they really come to life. And yes, I'm going to put it to bed right now. You don't need to ask me if I think that this thing needs to be the most important thing in your life on a Sunday. The answer is yes. Nothing, in my opinion, should take the place of being in the house of God on a Sunday morning. And I'm willing to lead by that example. I'm willing to live the life that I'm preaching to you. Not because I'm better, but because I believe in it. We don't come because we're perfect. We don't come because we don't need help. We don't come because we're not broken. To the contrary, we come because we're not perfect. We come because we are broken. We come because we know we need the help of the Lord. But we also come because we don't love our life unto death. We come because we want God to be first in our life. We come because we see what He's done in my life. And I need a testimony that I can share with the rest of the world. Question for you. I'm going to ask you to raise your hands. Now, I know you're going to feel put on the spot. I'm not going to look around and write down names if you don't raise your hand. I just want you to be honest. How many of you believe that you'd be willing to die for the gospel? Raise your hand. Most hands go up. Good. I think when we talk about dying for the gospel, our minds race towards martyrdom. Now, in all reality, if we could be honest with ourselves, ain't none of us face death for the gospel, so it's easy for us to say, I'd be willing to die for the gospel. Me as well. I say it, but my God, if somebody put a gun to my children's head and said, you can either denounce this thing or you can watch him die, that'd be tough. If they put it to my head, that would be tough because I want to be there for them. I want to provide for them. And I know that we think that will never happen here in America, and it may not. But I've got a question for you. When you think death, what exactly do you think? The Bible tells us that we are to be crucified. We are to crucify the flesh, crucify our affections, crucify our lusts. The things we want, our desires. Our death is rarely a literal death in America. Our death is a moral and a spiritual death. Our death means dying. Now, for all of you that raised your hand, dying to the things I want in life. My will and my desires die. Now, I just, the whole air just went out of this place. What do you think death is? It's easy for all of us to say, I'd be willing to die. I'm not criticizing you for it because I'm with you in those ranks. But are you willing to die when your will conflicts with the kingdom? When your will conflicts with doing something for the kingdom of God, are you willing to die? Are you willing to put your will to death so God's will is achieved? One of the things the church, not just here, everywhere, has always suffered, always dealt with, is you get new babes in the Lord and they love it, they're excited, and they come to church on Wednesday and the rest of the church doesn't. Are you saying I have to be there in church on every Wednesday? Oh, no. I'm also saying you don't have to be wherever else you are on Wednesday either. Wherever else you wanted to be. Can I preach this for a minute? Do you believe the gospel at all cost? Yes, I do. Now, we all are asked to give up different things. That's a tough word to say, isn't it? Asked. It's tough to put the K and the D together. But it doesn't sound right when you say it. Here's what we want to do. We want to bring me a chair. Sit over here for me. You can sit in it. You're pretty, so they can look at you. I'm not pretty. I'm just good looking. What we want to do is we want to come to church. We want to serve God. But don't ever ask me to get out of the safety of my boat. I'm going to show you something in a minute. I'm going to show you a couple things. If you're paying attention, you'll learn something today. Even from me. So it's as if I'll row through life and I'm good. But keep me right in this little bubble. Keep me in the safety of this. Meaning anywhere outside of this boat, I feel uncomfortable. Anywhere outside of this boat, I feel vulnerable. Nicole, pay attention to me preaching. Don't look at him. You're getting married in a month. My God, you can't take your eyes off of him. I promise you, it won't be long. You'll have no problem looking elsewhere. She's just sitting there. She's in her mind, she's saying, no mocha latte for you and Ashley below today. The safety of the boat stepping out of my area of comfortability, which completely alters my life. When you serve God, he's going to put you in places where he's going to ask you to move and you're not going to want to move. For several reasons. Number one, it may make you uncomfortable. Number two, it may require an extreme amount of faith. Number three, you might think you're going to die if you do. I can prove it to you. Jesus comes walking along in the water. And Peter says, now watch this. You probably never pondered this, did you? He said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come. Do you know why he said that? I'm going to tell you why he said that. There's two reasons. Number one, he knew that if it was the Lord, that he would ask him to step out of that boat into nothingness and put all of his trust in him. He knew that only Jesus would ask something so extreme and so crazy. Not the world. The world would say, oh, that's crazy. The Lord would never ask that of you. Oh, the Lord would never ask you to put your safety at risk. Oh, the Lord would never ask you. The Lord knows you gotta work. The Lord knows you gotta provide. The Lord knows that you have to have some time for you. Those are the words of the world. But Peter knew, I will verify who this is. Listen to me. He could have just said, hey, just speak. I know your voice. But he also knew that the devil's a master mimicker. And he also knew that somebody of this world would be able to imitate. But what nobody else would do is ask Peter to go where nobody else would ever ask him to go. But he knew that Jesus would. Number two, he knew, he had full assurance in knowing, are you ready for it? That I know that if I step out, if something happens, he'll be there to catch me. That's why he had the confidence to step out, because he knew that the Lord would not let him sink. He knew that. Now hear me very clearly. So he got too many people. They don't want to step out of this bubble, out of this little boat. And I'm going to tell you why. Because your faith is not what you think it is. You think, how am I going to, I know I'm preaching to somebody right now. I don't know how to make it, Pastor. I don't know how we'd survive, Pastor. Because your faith is not what Peter's was. Peter was willing because he knew, hey, it looks really bad. And it looks like this is something I shouldn't do. I mean, men don't walk on water. But if it's the Lord, he'll catch me. He'll rescue me. He will not let me drown in the decisions of my life as long as I'm putting the kingdom of God first.
Step out of the boat. Serious. Step out of the boat on water. But here's the problem. You'll never have a testimony until you stop loving your life. People may think you're this or that, but I'm saying you'll never have a powerful testimony, and you'll never be a true overcomer, one who subdues and puts under subjection the principalities of this world, and one who is no longer bound by those things, but now you walk with authority because you have become an overcomer. How? First, by the blood of his lamb, by the word, and by your testimony, because you did not love your life unto death. You can never be afraid of what you lose. If you're afraid of what you lose, you'll never learn to walk in God's authority. Look at all of the great men and women in the scripture. Moses was not afraid of losing his place in Egypt when he spoke out for the Hebrew brothers. Abraham was not afraid of losing his life, his lifestyle. He wasn't even afraid of losing his own son. And their testimonies now become one that we preach about and have been for thousands of years. Let me prove it to you. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 16. You can go. No, just stay there. Just in case. Making sure she's looking. I'm just kidding with you, Nicole. She's going to spit my mocha latte today. Hebrews 9 and 16. For where a testament is, I'll give you a moment. Look on the screen. If you don't have a Bible, you can look up on the screen. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. Now, a testament has more than one meaning. It also stands for testament, testimony. Also, dispensation, if you please. And we'll read that. Let's read on. I'm going to show you this. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Go ahead. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. No, go back. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. That means the first testator, the first testament of the Lord Jesus Christ,
did not happen without the shedding of blood. In order for his testament to become powerful, he had to die at Calvary. Now, if you back up one more verse, in order for our testimony to become powerful, we must die, or it has no force or no power or no strength while we liveth. That does not necessarily mean a literal death, even though that has a lot of meaning to it as well. When we lose people dear to us in our life, over time, their testimony becomes more powerful to us because of the legacy or the testimony that they left, and they become stories that we tell. Are you with me, or am I boring you? So we must die in order to have a testimony. We have to die. You have to give some things up in this life. I wish I could get some folks who would not be afraid of what you're going to lose, but understand what you're going to gain. In serving God, you gain so much more in death than you will ever gain in life. You cannot hold on to the tangible things of this world and think that you can ever have a powerful testimony for the kingdom of God. But when you're willing to die, when you're willing to let go of some things, your testimony becomes so much more powerful in the eyes of the world, and you become an overcomer. You know why you become an overcomer? Because you've defied death. Death was supposed to be final, but in God's kingdom, death only makes your testimony that much more powerful. And while Satan tries to constantly keep us sitting on that pinnacle and saying, all these things I will give you, I wish we could be honest with ourselves. Oh, I'm not in love with the things of this life. Really? Really? But I put the challenge to you, Jesus did to the rich man. Sell everything you have. Tomorrow, I got a yard sale coming up. When's our yard sale? They could donate it to us. Sell it all. Take all your fancy shoes, all your fancy clothes, all, I'm being serious, and sell it all. Now, I got news for you. Jesus told that man that if you sell everything you have, you will have life. Do you know why? Because he knew, even though the man said, I've kept all these commandments, he knew that he never died because he loved life too much. That's why he said, in order for you to be saved, in order for you to live, you've got to get rid of all this stuff that's become an encumbrance in your life. These things have become your love. You live for them. You die for them. If you get rid of all of this junk out of your life and you'll die, I'll give you a testimony that will carry much farther than any donation you'll ever give. It'll be so much stronger, and it will carry on for generations.
Watch this. You know what this is? It's a book full of testimonies. It's a book full of testimonies of the men and women of God that did not love their life unto death. Wow. I'm boring you today, aren't I? Go to Matthew 6 and 24. As I've said, what I have felt is we've got people, this is not a criticism, it's God wanting to highlight this hindrance in your life because you're trying to hold on to some things and serve God too. And eventually there's going to be a divorce. The question is, who are you going to divorce? Matthew 6 and 24 says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold on to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. The word mammon simply is possessions. Actually, let me find my notes here. The
The word mammon comes from the Syriac word, which is Aramaic. And it literally means gain. Watch. You cannot love God and worldly gain at the same time. You will serve one or the other. Now here's the kicky. Here's the kicky. While two masters go together, a servant can follow them both. But when they separate, you must choose which one you're going to follow. What do you mean? I'm going to explain it. When the church will not preach separation, when the church will not preach consecration, when the church will not preach the death of the testator, so you have a testimony, when the church will not preach that you cannot love the world and love God at the same time, when the church will not preach that if you are a friend of the world, you are an enemy with God, when the church will not preach that you must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Him, as long as the church doesn't preach those things, you can serve both in the same congregation. You can serve this God and the gods of your world. I had a man years ago, he said to me, when I come into church and he goes to another local church around here, I won't tell you which one it is, could be very obvious. He said, I'm going to sit in the back. I'll pay my tithes and I'll show up. Don't ask me to do anything. His exact words to me. He said, I don't want to be gilded into stuff. I don't want to be duped into stuff. I just want to show up and I just want to put in my time. I'll pay my tithes and we'll go on. Now that might have been good for that church. They might allow you to serve God and mammon in that church, but I've got to tell you as an obligation to the Lord and as a commission by the Holy Ghost that you cannot serve God and gain at the same time. You can't serve both. I'm not saying you've got to get rid of all your lifestyles and your possessions. What I am saying is you've got to prove to God that you love Him more than everything else. I feel God trying to speak to some people right now. And you've got to prove to God that you will not put other things in front of Him or above Him or first. And when you prove those things to the Lord, the Bible says He'll give you the other things. The reason Solomon was the wise man that he is, and my God, I'll tell you, all you got to do is just read something in Song of Solomon, and the wisdom is just unspeakable. It's almost like it's out of its time. It's mind-blowing to me. It's mind-blowing, the wisdom that Solomon actually had. He speaks thousands of years into the future and the future generations by using his old words of his time. And so while we're worried, Brother Jerry, about losing earthly possessions or losing a promotion, or losing, I'm going to say it, income. Am I in the book? Last I checked, he told, if you're going to follow me, you're going to leave your life. Quit your job, come follow me. Now, that doesn't mean everybody's supposed to quit their job. That doesn't mean that at all. But you should never let it take precedent over the kingdom of God. What am I supposed to do? Put God first. He'll give you everything else. He'll add it. So back to Solomon. You comfortable in your boat? Back to Solomon. The Lord says, tell me what you want, Solomon. He did not love his life unto death. And he recognized the awesome responsibility of being king over God's people. He said, Lord, just give me the wisdom to lead these people. He could have asked anything. He could have asked for a promotion. He could have asked to win the lottery. I hope there ain't no lottery ticket scratchers in here. What a pit of life that is. What's worse is if you're a lottery ticket scratcher and you buy them all the time and you put $1.50 in the offering plate. That shows where your faith is. It's the truth. I'd rather trust God all day long, every day, any day. And we've proven that. You might not know it and you might not believe me. I don't really care. I know it. I know what we have done. I know what we've We've tried never to hold back from the Lord. And God has blessed us. So when the church's DNA allows the two, the saint and to serve God and mammon together, the saint's fine. Oh, but when the church begins to preach consecration, separation, sacrifice, death, denying oneself, taking one cross, you got to choose. Are you ready for this one? This is really going to, this is not going to make some other pastors around here very happy. So they got to choose. So I'm going to serve God here, or I'll go to that church and serve God and mammon over there. They'll let me do it. Or I'll go to that church and let you serve God and mammon. They'll let me do it. Or they'll say, amen. I cannot serve two masters. We don't like to choose in America. But the Lord said, you cannot serve God and gain at the same time. Paul said in Philippians 3:7, what things were now gained to me? Those I counted loss for Christ. I have no specific thoughts for any one person here, as Jesus is my witness, on what you need to give up. But you know what God's dealing with you about. You're not a dummy. You know when the Holy Ghost is tugging at your heart, but you're letting fear. It's safe in this boat. Outside the boat, I'm out of control. I have no control over what I'm doing. In the boat, I can row harder. I can row faster. I could probably even incorporate some other people to row for me. But if I get out of the boat, everything that I knew has no bearing in my life. I'm completely out of control. I'm vulnerable here. But that's where faith comes in. Can I ask you a question? Don't fib. If you feel the Holy Ghost just really speaking right now, just throw your hand up real quick. It's all right. It's good. It's all I need to know. I knew a couple people filled the Holy Ghost. Faith is like Peter. If it's you, Lord, I know you'll ask something crazy. The world will make it comfortable for me, but the Lord, he'll make it sound crazy. Come. Mammon, gain, another word would be worldliness. The scripture calls it the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Sometimes your gain has to go before God can give you increase. I'm not talking about things only. I'm even talking about desires, wants, likes. Whatever it is that God deals with you about. I'm not being specific. Philippians 3:19. If you turn there, put it up on the screen for us if you would, Bradley. Philippians 3:19. Says, speaking of those who would serve God and mammon, verse 7 was our text there. Or I'm sorry, was it verse 7 or was it? Let me make sure I don't mislead you. You'll be going home and posting on Facebook that I'm preaching false doctrine. It was verse 7. No, verse 7 was, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. And then he goes down further now in verse 19 and says, whose end is destruction? Whose God is their belly? The things that taste good? And whose glory is in their shame? Who mind earthly things. Now, I'm going to clarify something in a minute because some of y'all, I think you just backslid. Proverbs 6:9. I'm finishing up. Coming to a close. It says, how long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come. as one that travaileth, and I want is an as an armed man. How long will you sleep, O sluggard? How long will you close your eyes to the things that God has been dealing with you about? I'm only asking you this morning, in your heart, you know, right now, you'll know what God is speaking to you about. But in order for God to stretch our faith, we've got to let go of some things in this life and grab a hold of things in His kingdom. I shared with you, I believe, a while back about the Mariana Trench. 19,700 feet. It's called the Abyssobelegic Zone. I think I got that. And no one has ever gone beyond that. I believe that there, if I remember correctly, was the deepest part. Well, there was one man who actually made it a submarine. But now they believe that there are places in the ocean far deeper than the Mariana Trench that is yet to even be touched or discovered. 80%, they say, of the ocean. These are our genius scientists now. Not me. They say 80% has been undiscovered. They say only 5% of space, and that's probably a stretch, has been discovered. And with the ocean, this is what they've literally mapped out through technology. 80% has been unmapped, undiscovered. In space, they say they've only discovered 5%. They said there's another 95%. It's actually worded this way. They said, we have come to understand the fundamental building blocks of ordinary matter, and what we know of the universe is only a tiny fraction of what is out there. We know 5% of the universe, the remaining 95% is still a mystery. And so when I read this about the Mariana Trench, I wondered why God would have so much undiscoverable areas in this earth. And then it dawned on me. God doesn't want us to know everything. He doesn't want us to have all the answers. It's all by God's design. Even in this life, with all of the technology that we have, He wants still the largest portion to be a mystery. Because the mystery requires us to walk by faith. It requires us to trust in the unknown. It requires us to trust in the God that created this earth, the God that spoke it all into existence. And so God wants to stretch our faith. But how does God stretch your faith? And how does that come in to this message here? Very, very easily. Because His kingdom came and we became overcomers, but not because of our education and not because of our knowledge and not because of our looks and not because of our decisions, but we became overcomers because first, He shed His blood at Calvary. And second, we become overcomers because of His shed blood. I now have testimony. And because of my testimony, because I did not count my life dear unto myself. So here's my question as I close. How many of you want a testimony? Stand if you would with me, if you would please. Honest, sincere question. Whether you already have it or not. How many of you want a testimony? I want to share something with that God has done that was undoable. I want to share something that God brought life into something that was already dead, even if that was me. I want to share with the world that I was able to overcome, even when all the odds of the world were against me. Even when the world said it was okay, but I know in my heart and I know from the Word of God that it wasn't. I want a testimony that I can have. And if that means me dying, then God, here I am. Take me, Lord. If you take me in this life or you take me in the next, I don't care. Just use my life for your glory. I wish I had a few people here today that really truly felt that way, that really wanted their life to be a testament, that there must be the death of the testator in order to have the testament or the testimony. What's tough about it, though, is all glory leads back to God. We don't really get any of it. But it all belongs to Him in the first place. But when you become an overcomer, there's nothing more exciting than knowing, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. There's nothing more exciting than knowing that if it wasn't for the Lord intervening in my life and disrupting my path in the course that I had already set myself on, if it wasn't because of the abundance of His mercy and His grace, He interfered with my plans because somewhere deep inside me, He knew there was a hungry soul that was searching for the things of God, the will of God, and the love of God. Won't you come to this altar if you feel this way today? Would you do that right now? Just come if you really feel like you want to come. I've had people would tell me they knew God was going to ask things they didn't want to give. So they kept themselves right where they were. The worst thing you'll ever do is stay the hand of God from moving in your life. There's nothing that God will ask that He cannot replace. And I don't know what God is asking of you this morning, but you know, I know that you know. He may be calling you into deeper consecration. He may ask you to make a complete career change in your life. He may be asking you to give some things up that you've been holding on to because you're afraid of getting out of the boat. You're afraid of what's going to happen when you do. I don't know what, but I know that He is because I know who God is. And I know the things that He has. But I have come today to tell you this, that you will be an overcomer. That the only way that you're going to overcome is by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. You've got to have something to share. But you also cannot count your life dear unto yourself. You cannot be afraid to crucify this old flesh on the cross, because you know that the Lord will resurrect you and He'll raise you up in His image and He'll use you for His glory and He'll use you for His kingdom. It doesn't matter your knowledge, your background, your education, your pedigree. Those things do not move God. God is moved by obedience and God is moved by faith. And if you're willing to have faith today, lift your hands and trust in the Lord and say, God, take me somewhere I've never been. Teach me something I've never seen. Give me the strength, God, to do what you're calling me to do. I pray right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Listen, you're here for that reason. You're here because God is trying to stretch you. God is trying to move you to the next level in your walk with God. Don't be afraid. Hallelujah, Jesus.
We ask is more I will. Nothing else can satisfy our heart. desires endure. We want His more.
You will have the victory that you seek. You will be an overcomer as long as you let that testimony be born in you. As long as you trust in the blood of the Lamb, in the provision of God, in His ability. Hallelujah. Don't be afraid right now. Step out of your boat right now. Step out and trust God. Hallelujah.
His love endures. Yes, the Lord is good forever. And thou shalt it out from the mountain tops. Yes, the Lord is good forever. For the Lord is good. His love endures. Yes, the Lord is good forever. And thou shalt it out from the mountain tops. Yes, the Lord is good forever.
Thank you.
want you more and more. We want you more and more. We want you more and more. More and more. Yes, we want you more.
I want to know if we can do something together. Before we dismiss this morning, I want to know if we would, every one of us would, and I want the musicians involved. You don't need to play for a minute or sing. I want to know if we lift our hands and lift our voices and we cry unto the Lord right now for a couple more moments together. Whether you're in the back, whether you're in the front, we're going to tell God we're going to trust Him. We're going to trust Him in everything. Jesus, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Lord, we want to be a testimony, oh God. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let your will be done in everything, oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We trust you. We'll not be afraid, God, to step out of our boat. We're not going to be afraid, oh God, to trust in you with everything. Oh, Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You're good, oh God. You are good all the time. Lord, your mercy endures forever. You know us, Lord. You have our interests at heart, oh God. You care about our future, oh God. You care about our well-being, oh God. Hallelujah. Your love, Lord, runs deeper than this world could ever. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, I just want you to praise Him for another minute, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I will not be afraid of where God is taking me. I will not be afraid of the things God asks of me. He'll never hurt me. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. And I will walk in the authority that God has purposed for me. I will be an overcomer. I will be an overcomer. I will subdue the things of this life. Oh, that God would get glory through my life. Hallelujah. If you believe that, would you shout amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap. Oh, Jesus, as they close and worship, one more song.
King of glory, King of glory, fill this place. Just wanna be with you. Just wanna be with you. Oh, King of glory, King of glory. Just wanna be with you. I just wanna be with you. Oh, King of glory, King of glory, fill this place. Just wanna be with you. I just wanna be with you. I just wanna be with you. I just wanna be with you. King of glory, King of glory, fill this place. Just wanna be with you. I just wanna be. Just wanna be with you. Oh yes, we sing, King of glory, fill this place. I just wanna be with you. I just wanna be with you. Oh, we sing hallelujah, and we'll sing. Sing hallelujah, 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 sing hallelujah. Dance in your presence, we'll dance in your presence.
Just praise your holy name right now. God, we just thank you for this service, for this word that you brought forth today, Jesus. Hallelujah. God, we ask today, Lord, that you would just, Lord, touch our hearts with the word that was brought forth. God, that we would apply to our lives, Lord Jesus, that we would evaluate, Lord, our lives to just see what you would have us to just set aside, Lord, and follow you, Lord Jesus. God, we just want to give you all the praise and the honor, and we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed in Jesus' name.